Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
Demole Williams, touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, and welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown, and it's a wonderful day. We give thanks. We got the whole crew back together. We're going to switch things up this time. We're going to go in a little bit of a different order. So, you know, Mess JR, he already had himself off mute. He was ready to go, but we're going to switch it up. We're going to switch it up here, and we're going to start with the man, the Sexy Prince. How's it going, man? How you doing? How was your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was good, y'all. Glad to be back. I was with the family. We had a, nice Thanksgiving spread, some turkeys, some stuffing, some greens, rice. It was good. And, just having to spend some time with some family you haven't seen in a while. Catching up, seeing what everybody's doing, the cousins and whatnot. So yeah, it was a good time.
Prince, you said everything but the one requirement.
Okay. So I'm not the one that cooks it, or that cooks the Thanksgiving spread, and I'm also not in charge of bringing anything. So, if it was my choice, yes, I would have brought some macaroni and cheese.
So you didn't have macaroni and cheese at Thanksgiving?
I did not.
Oh my God!
Oh man!
Revoked.
Oh man! So I mean, that leads me to the question I was going to ask you anyway. So like, what kind of immigrant parents do you have? Like, this is a legit question because I have immigrant parents too. Do you have the immigrant parents who like went like full America with the Thanksgiving and were like trying to do everything like all the way American? Or do you have like the immigrant parents who just basically used like the American holiday as an excuse to have everyone come eat food from back home? Like, which one did y'all do?
You know, it wasn't the first one, Jason, because they didn't bring mac and cheese.
Oh, well, I mean, but they're not from the South. They came to Minnesota. They might not know better.
It's kind of a mixture of both because obviously a lot of the kids grew up in America. So, they didn't eat a lot. Some of the food that was from back home and stuff. But I mean, we still eventually ate that stuff anyway. So it'd kind of be like two Thanksgiving spreads. It'd be obviously the heavily Nigerian meals that I have no problem eating. And then there's, some of the more, down South type stuff. So, it's definitely a mixture of both, which I appreciate because I think, you kind of get the best of both worlds.
But no mac and cheese.
No mac and cheese. You can't have everything, Jason.
Let's move this along. Let's see if Miles can get us back on track here after Yinka just started us off on such a down note, disappointing JR with the first sentences out of his mouth. Miles, what's going on with you, man? How you doing? How was your Thanksgiving?
I'm tired. I need a break from the break. Man. We had four different Thanksgivings to go to.
You poor thing, Miles. You poor thing.
Four.
I had to travel a lot. Yeah. So my wife's family once. We did two different ones for her family, and then we did two different ones for mine.
Was there mac and cheese at all of them?
Yeah. My sister made homemade mac and cheese. It was bomb.
And all right. We're going to move this along because,
Team Lightskin always showing me up, man.
She knows what's up. I mean, she gets it. You like just clearly don't.
It's like the finals all over again or something.
Oh, God. Here we go.
But JR, last but certainly not least, how you doing, my man? We missed you on the last pod. Good to have you back. How was your Thanksgiving? And then, I guess your Thanksgiving was a different one. How was your Thanksgiving? And then you can just tell us, how was your trip to Detroit, man?
It was very eventful. Had a really good time. Spent Thanksgiving in Detroit, flew in the day before. Haven't been to Detroit since the Pistons were good, so it's been a long, long time since I've been to Detroit. The city has grown a lot. A lot has changed since then, but I had a great time. Flew in the day before, like I said earlier, in the middle of a Red Wings game, and it was very different for me. I'm not really an avid hockey watcher like that, but they're very, very huge in Detroit. A lot of Red Wings fans there, so that was a different experience for me, just seeing how you know, avid their fans are about the Red Wings. And I learned a lot about the city. I didn't know it was so close to Canada. That's one thing I did not know. Like, if you were to cross the bridge, you would be in Canada. So that was something I learned, knew about Detroit and how close it was to Canada. Yeah, I did not know that.
Right across from Windsor. I got a, one of my aunties lives in Windsor, but you wouldn't want to go to Windsor. Windsor is not a place you want to hang out in on the regular. So
is that where they created the whiskey or the bourbon or whatever?
No. I mean, as you can imagine, you know, the cities in Canada that are closest to America, you know, they tend to have an element to them on occasion. So we'll leave it at that. We don't need to delve too deep. But Windsor is not a nice place. We visit Windsor on the way to America. You don't want to stay in Windsor for too long. So, you know, all that out of the way, good to have the whole crew back here. And, you know, we had a bit of a conversation, JR. I know that you listened to the last pod you said on the plane while you were gone, talking about, you know, the quarterback, Case Keenum. And I noticed, you know, a little bit of a switch in how you are discussing the quarterback controversy, quote unquote, or the quarterback situation with the Minnesota Vikings. And it looks like you've laid down your arms. You no longer are flying the banner for Team Teddy. You seem to be fully in on the season, kind of enjoying the ride. What switched for you, JR? And is that an accurate kind of, I guess, telling of where you are right now? Or am I kind of overreading things from what's going on your timeline?
I'm kind of overreading it. It's not necessarily a switch into things. It's kind of just a fatigue thing. And I think the quarterback situation with the Vikings right now is kind of like debating politics. Everybody has their point, and nobody's going to listen to the other side's point. So I just think it's useless to debate at this time, and I'm just going to enjoy the ride. As far as Case Keenum, I mean, he's playing well right now. That's the easiest way I can put it. We've talked about him coming down to earth for the past 3 to 4 weeks, and he's continued to prove us wrong. Maybe he's just going to have this one glorified year. Who knows? But I'm just going to enjoy the ride for now, and he's doing a really good job, and he's playing at a high level right now.
Okay, well, that's like a mild endorsement. So I guess with you enjoying the ride, does that mean you're fully in on embracing Case Keenum as your quarterback, at least for this season?
Yeah, I mean, he's the quarterback of my team, and I'm going to support him. I mean, that's kind of a vanilla answer, but he deserves our respect at this point just because, I mean, I know I've said a lot of times that he's a glorified backup, but he's playing really well right now. As far as I think the one thing he's doing really well right now is just keeping drives alive with his legs. He's able to avoid pressure in the pocket, and he's able to sustain drives. And I think that's what's really helping the Vikings offense right now, his ability to just extend plays and make plays out on the perimeter or being able to avoid pressure within the pocket and extend drives.
And one of the things we talked about, you know, on the last pod as well is that, you know, kind of early in the season, one of the things that was really giving people, I guess, a bit of pause about Case Keenum is that even though we were winning and like the overall team results were good, Case Keenum's play in and of itself had been a bit uneven, and Miles made the point that it looks like, anyway, that Case has taken his game to another level, or at least statistically you can see that, you know, there was that lull there where you had some not-so-great games, but over the last three games or so, Case's play seems to be better. I guess from your perspective as an evaluator, is that what you're seeing as well? Is Case really, like, elevating his game to another level, or is it still kind of what we thought we were seeing earlier in the season where it's, you know, Shermer making the game easy and the skill position players really balling out and taking kind of the stats to the next level?
I think it's a combination of both. The Vikings targets are really doing a good job of being accuracy erasers as far as helping Keenum out with a lot of inaccurate passes. As far as maybe, like, for example, when they're running shallow crossers or catching the ball out on the perimeter, he's kind of throwing the ball behind him. But they're doing a good job of, you know, extending their catch radiuses and just helping him out. And that's the biggest thing we've seen from the Vikings targets, just helping him out. And we all know you have to do that, excuse me, with Case Keenum, just because he's not, I mean, let's just be honest, he's known to not be the most accurate quarterback in the league, and he does have his deficiencies. But I do want to give him some credit where credit is due. He's thrown some really nice passes here the past few weeks, especially the one last week in the corner of the end zone to Kyle Rudolph. I mean, that was an absolute dime. So it ain't necessarily just them always bailing him out. He's also thrown some really nice passes. And like I alluded to earlier, the biggest thing he's really doing and what's taking this offense to the next level is him being able to elude pressure and help that offensive line out, avoiding sacks and extending plays. And that's helping them sustain drives.
That's awesome. And you just touched on something that we're going to come back to in just a second there. But obviously, you know, you put yourself on the other side of at least where he was before the game. But we have another data point that's in. And I mean, Case played his arguably the best game he's played all season. There weren't really, okay, there was one throw. There was the out route to, you know, Kyle Rudolph that should have been a pick six for Detroit that went right through Miles Killebrew's hand. But it wasn't picked off. It was a 32-yard gain. That was the only time in the whole game Case let go of the ball, and I was nervous that something bad was going to happen when he let go of it. But overall, I would say Case Keenum played his best game as a Minnesota Viking. He's now strung together three at least solid performances in a row here. Saxy Prince, I mean, you had a lot of things to say. You were throwing a lot of shade, hating pretty hard on the man Case Keenum on the last podcast. Are you ready to embrace Case as your quarterback, at least for the rest of this season, to see where this magical ride can take us?
You said embrace, not support, correct?
I did say embrace.
Okay, embrace. So, no, I'm not. And I think we get into the thing that I find, I guess, troubling with all this that comes around, because I'll start my statement with this. Over the last three games, Case has more than impressed me with his pocket presence, his decision-making, and just his overall play, because I think he's been playing at a very, very high level. Now, the problem that I'm having is with sample size, and I think this is why I still have my doubt and my skepticism when it comes to this. Understand this. Before, you know, this year or even these last three games, Case Keenum had shown himself to be a backup quarterback. Maybe a fringe starter, but essentially still a backup quarterback. Up until this year, as far as you look at yards per attempt, you look at DVOA, Case Keenum didn't rank in any of these stats above, or he was in the bottom third of the league in both these stats last year. And before that, a lot of them didn't even kind of show up because, I mean, obviously, you know, the certain qualifiers were number of passes he has to get across. So when it comes to sample size, when it comes to his play as of late, you know, I understand, you know, Miles getting on me last week about nitpicking, and it's understandable, and I understand it. But part of what it comes from is when people look at how he's played as of late and kind of extrapolate that, you have one or two options. You can use that as your only data point to look at, okay, this is the Case Keenum we know now. And, you know, if he has an off game, it's just an off game and, you know, happens to every player. Or you can do kind of what I'm doing and using what's precedence. You know, he hasn't played that well over the course of his career. If that were the case, he'd still be in LA. He would still be with the Texans. One of those two teams would have, you know, said like, hey, this is our guy because he's playing well. Now, I'm not trying to take away necessarily the fact that he hasn't been playing well, but there's still a level of skepticism that exists. And it's not just because of the media. It's not just because of certain fans who want to see Teddy Bridgewater. You have to also understand that Mike Zimmer has been very wishy-washy and hedging the fence as far as him. He understandably hasn't outright called him the starter for the rest of the season. He has said numerous times that Teddy Bridgewater will play this season. There's been reports from Jay Glazer coming out that they're just essentially waiting for Case Keenum to mess up. And that's kind of my problem with all of this, which is why I'm not ready to embrace him yet, because I don't think that personally, that's in my opinion, I don't think the team is, or at least guy like Zimmer is ready to fully embrace him. It's like, this is our guy moving forward. That is because any other team, when their franchise, I made this kind of this joke last night with the Packers and Brent Hundley. Like if Brent Hundley went on a streak and became, you know, creeped into top 10 type quarterback play, you know, that's where you sit Rodgers because he has the hot hand. But any other team, you know, you really have your franchise quarterback. Once he's healthy, once he's ready to go, you reinstate him. And I don't think that would necessarily be anything against Keenum, because, you know, I'd much rather Keenum, weirdly to say, I'd much rather him get yanked and when he's playing well than, you know, than when he's not playing well, and maybe lose some of that confidence, that mindset that I can still do this. I can still do this.
and hold on, can I interject on that real quick, Prince?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just because, like, based off of kind of Case Keenum's career in the NFL to date, I don't really worry about him completely losing confidence, at least at this point, if he were to ever get pulled for, you know, struggling a bit and everything like that, just for the fact that, like, because he's struggled at every stop he's been at. And then he's been replaced by another quarterback, whether it's that team's quote unquote franchise quarterback or whatever it is. So I'm not really worried about his, like, the confidence level for a guy like Case Keenum, because no matter what, he's going to go out there and sling it. That's just the kind of mentality he has. He's always going to be a confident kind of guy. And I know what you mean by like level of confidence, but I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, he's the type of guy, if he were to get pulled in him at some point later on, I wouldn't have any issues with it. I wouldn't be worried about him, because that's just
I'm not either. I just know that that's an argument, and this kind of goes into, you know, one of my final points, why people don't want him to get yanked, because I mean let's be honest, there's this section or subsection of people who just don't want to see Teddy Bridgewater play. I think he's a guy with the bigger ceiling. I think he's a guy that this offense can cater towards his needs, and I completely agree with you, Miles. I was more speaking to those are the people who feel as if, you know, you yank him, you lose, for whatever reason, he might lose his confidence, might lose his play. I'm not necessarily worried about that. I'm saying if that were to ever happen in the scenario where, you know, he does lose it, I think it's a better scenario where it's, you know, he still has the ability to know, I balled out, but Teddy Bridgewater's their guy, versus I'm getting yanked because I just threw three interceptions, but I still felt like I could have continued to fight on and continue to help us win the football game.
Here's my question for you then about it. Because I'm not saying I'm sold on Case Keenum, but I think he's kind of earned, like, with me, at least for me personally, he's earned the, like, continue on because of how well he's played, especially like what Jason talked about. The last three games have arguably been his best three games of the season. And those are always, you know, what have you done for me lately? And he's seemingly just gotten better as the season's gone on, getting more comfortable in the offense, getting more comfortable preparing each week, you know, everything else, building that rapport, all that stuff. But honest question here, and, you know, this doesn't mean that Teddy can't be better, but I'm asking, like, over the last three games, like, kind of, like, what could Teddy be better at than – and, like, what could he do better than what Case is doing right now? And I honestly mean that, because I'm just not sure.
I mean, I could answer that with one word. It's accuracy. So I think that's where it gets where the debate gets tough.
How inaccurate has he been? I know there's some missed throws. I know some of the receivers have bailed him out, but, like, that's what I mean over the last three games is, like, I feel like we've seen his completion percentage get better. He's being more accurate with the ball with the intermediate throws. Again, we know Teddy Bridgewater's bread and butter is the intermediate throws, because that, you know, that's where he pinpoints those throws. But, like, I feel like Case has gotten better at that as the season's gone on. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, no doubt. I would say that's really the only thing. And that's why, like we said on the last episode, and to JR's point, I think that's why there's some fatigue in talking about it, is that the things you're going to point to in terms of a Teddy Bridgewater, Case Keenum kind of debate, or they do become, they're the minutiae, they're the nuance of the game, they're things that feel like nitpicking, because, you know, as Luke said, and we discussed a little bit on the last one, Teddy Bridgewater and Case Keenum are going to win in a lot of similar ways.
Mm-hmm.
Neither guy is a huge armed quarterback. Both guys are going to win by navigating and moving around the pocket, buying time for their guys. Both guys will bring a little bit of mobility to the table as they need to, maybe scramble for a first down here or there. But I think that the big difference, okay, I'll actually say it's two. I think that, you know, if you're going to assess, I think that the big difference you'd say between the two of them is right now, and, you know, rightfully so, Adam Thielen is balling out, but it does appear that at times Case Keenum is kind of locked onto one guy, and that's his guy, and that's who he's going to, and that's where he's throwing the ball, and he's not really going through. So I think that based on what we had seen from Teddy Bridgewater in terms of going through progressions, finding the open guy, and that's, you know, dating back also to kind of who he was as a prospect in college, I think that's something you could say you would see him do a little better than what we've seen from Case Keenum so far this season. And then I think the other piece is the accuracy piece. Teddy Bridgewater is a more accurate quarterback, so I think we may have seen some more opportunities for some yards after the carry. We may see some opportunities where guys, instead of having to make a diving catch, can catch it in stride and keep going. But I think those are really the only two things. And based on what the outcome of the offense has been thus far, those things feel very nitpicky in this conversation.
And marginal, right.
Because they're like incremental gains. In the long term, maybe they're a big deal. But in the context of what we've seen from the offense this year, it does seem nitpicky. And so I guess not even like over the last three games. Again, we'll go back to, I guess we'll put it this way for you, Sexy Prince. Is there anything at all, because it is going to be a small sample size for Case Keenum, it's going to be a one season sample, and you know, one season is really not a good sample to make any sorts of long-term determinations about anything NFL-wise. Is there anything Case Keenum can do this season to bring you on board?
I think I said it on the last pod because, I mean, you know, you guys kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, the things that I see, they are very nitpicky things, and I do admit it to you. But as far as Case, what I've seen over the last couple of weeks has impressed me, doesn't have me at nearly as down as I was when I ranted, you know, probably over a month ago when I had my huge doubts as far as Case Keenum. But for him to continue to play at the level he's played at the last three games, in my opinion, for these next two games against Atlanta, who I think is a very good defense, and then Carolina, who I think, you know, they do some things defensively that, you know, might challenge the Vikings. I think if Case, for these next two games, if he can play at that level, I think I'll be okay with being on board for him for the rest of the season. But, you know, that's just my expectation. The thing is, guys like, you know, us that watch film and stuff, you know, it's my personal philosophy that I don't watch film because I'm always right. I watch film because more often than not, my first initial thing is wrong. And I have to watch it to be able to eliminate some of those biases and to be able to actually, okay, did I see what I think that I saw? And it's in our best interest to not lock onto a singular, thought or about a specific player or every player on the field and be like, well, this is what I think about this player, and I'm going to continue to think about this player no matter what they do. Case Keenum has swayed me a lot more than he did ranted. He's shown tremendous pocket awareness and being able to maneuver through the pocket. He has gotten a lot better. Do I want to see him go through progressions a little bit more? Yes, I do. Do I want to see him more accurately hit his wide receivers so they can make more plays? Because you've seen what an accurate ball to Adam Thielen can do. He was able to turn that to a 65-yard touchdown. So there are still some little, again, nitpicky things that I do still want to see from him. But I'm a lot more comfortable with him than I was, you know, slightly after the bye.
Okay. So two games from now, maybe, just maybe, we will get you to say some nice things all in on Case Keenum without a bunch of caveats and stuff.
Something like that.
Yeah. So two games from now. That's what we're holding out here. Okay. So I think we have to talk about it because, you know, it's still out there, still a conversation. People are obviously still getting in their feelings about it on Twitter.com. So we're going to talk about it probably for the duration of the season, probably less as we go on since, you know, this is Case's team. It's his ship. It's his thing to run with at the moment. And we'll see where this thing goes. So with that said, you know, we've also been joking around, having a little bit of fun, which people don't like at all. But we're still going to get these jokes off because it's Twitter and none of it should really be taken that seriously. So we're going to go rapid fire real quick here. JR, off-season Teddy power ranking. Where's he ending up? Go.
Miami.
Okay. All right. Miles, Teddy, off-season. Where's he going?
Denver. No, not Denver. Scratch that. I didn't say that. New York Giants.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right. Last but certainly not least, Saxy Prince, Teddy Bridgewater, offseason power rankings. Where's he going?
Are we discluding Minnesota as far as
I said going.
Oh, going. I mean, he could go on right back to us. I will say New England. I say New England will make him a deal he can't refuse.
Okay, and I'm gonna stick with my Jacksonville take because I just think, you know, it's close. It's in Florida. You know, it's not that far away from Miami, so he can still get down and see the folk, but not so close to Miami where the folk can come up and see him all the time, which is important. And that defense with competent quarterback play would be scary. So, you know, if Teddy is to leave, that's where I'd like to see him land because I think it would be good for him, good for his career long term. Let's move it along. There was a game. It was played. The Vikings did. They almost did all that we asked for. Because they went in and it really, really, really looked like they were going to do what I really needed them to do, which was to go in there and just put a beat down on the Detroit Lions. And it started that way. Second half, things got a little dicey. Game got a little bit closer. I think the final score was way closer than it really should have been. So, you know, JR, starting with you, you were there. You were live. What were your big thoughts? What were your takeaways from that game on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was a great experience. The Detroit fans were great, very, very friendly fans, a lot friendlier than I thought they would be, especially considering that I had a lot of purple on going in there. There wasn't an empty seat in the house. Very beautiful stadium, my first time ever going to Ford Field. So very electric atmosphere as well. But I thought they played really well, especially in the first half. I thought they came out and made a statement drive from the beginning, going right down the field and scoring on those guys. Second half, once it got 27-10, I thought they really let their foot off the gas and they really let them back in the game. I kind of would like to see them, or I would have liked to see them put them away. What I really was hoping was that they would score again and make it 34-10 and that we would really see Teddy. That's what I was really hoping would happen. Just because I selfishly wanted to see Teddy in person. But anyway, I was hoping we could get Teddy a series or two. But overall, reaction.
JR, is that almost like buying a ticket thinking he's going to start and then you have to watch Case Keenum start?
That's really the root of all the salt right here.
He literally couldn't sell his ticket. He couldn't give his ticket away.
No. Hey Miles, you want to go to the game, Miles? Miles? No? Okay.
No.
Right, but I thought the offense played well for the most part. Second half, like I said, I think they stalled. They kind of got conservative or vanilla with the play calling, kind of took their foot off their throat, and that ended up letting them back in the game. Fourth quarter, Matthew Stafford, I thought, was really going to come back and hurt us, but the defense ended up making the play at the end. I thought the defense, they didn't play very well, especially the secondary. A lot of holding calls, and they were clear as day. In person, just seeing – them guys holding them on the back end. Marvin Jones was dominated the whole game. Kind of held Golden Tate in check for the most part, but Marvin Jones, man, he had a really good game. Eric Ebron had a really good game as well. They really struggled guarding those two guys. I thought they did a lot better against the run, especially considering how bad it looked in the first matchup. Amir Abdullah ended up with 95 yards, I believe it was, in the first matchup before he went out with the injury. So I thought they did a much better job against the run. Matthew Stafford was pathetic in the game, and that's saying it nicely. He was just inaccurate. He was just throwing it all over the place, but he was bailed out a lot of times by the secondary and holding penalties. But overall, I don't think it was a bad performance. I just would have liked them to see them put them away much earlier, especially when it was 27-10. I would like to see them extend the lead as opposed to letting them come back.
Yeah, and you were there early, you know, flexing those photography skills, taking pictures and things like that. But one of the things that, obviously we're going into a huge matchup in this upcoming week against the Falcons, and, you know, they have a guy there by the name of Julio Jones. And I imagine Xavier Rhodes will be assigned the task of trying to slow down, stop, you know, lock up Julio Jones. And he's had success against him in the past. But, I mean, Marvin Jones put it on Xavier Rhodes in that game. Did Rhodes look healthy in warmups? Like, what were you seeing when they were out there moving around? Did he look like he was at 100%?
it's kind of hard to tell because he was laughing and he was playing a lot around in warmups and he looked like his normal self. He didn't look like he was favoring the calf or anything. But in the game, he just didn't look the same. He didn't look to have that same burst out of his back pedal, and he just seemed to step slow, especially when he was guarding Marvin Jones. He ended up making a play at the end, though, which was great to see. But throughout the game, he just didn't look like his normal self. He kind of looked like he was panicking a lot just because he went back to those old tendencies. And what I mean by that, he's got – when Xavier panics, he starts grabbing a lot. And that's what we saw in his younger days, and that's what you saw on Thanksgiving. So I really hope he's healthy because it's a very tall task of guarding Julio Jones, and I'm interested to see how he does in this matchup. I think it's a fascinating matchup between two very top-flight players in the NFL.
And last question about, you know, you being there live, you know, how was it seeing, you know, the man, the myth, the legend, Kenny Golladay live and in person? And was it all you hopes and dream before you got to the stadium?
See, I was on the opposite. I was on the opposite end of the line, so I really didn't get to see Golladay. The one weird thing I thought was very weird, and I tweeted it out, Laquan Treadwell, he was warming up with the ski mask on. I just thought that was really weird for whatever reason, but I don't know why he was doing that for whatever reason. I don't know.
Well, that's a perfect segue right there. Miles, why are wide receivers so strange?
Because they kind of have to be.
Why?
I mean, unless your name's Adam Thielen, I think every other, like, number one wide receiver has got some, like, weird twitchy edge to him. I'm not calling Treadwell that, but I'm calling, like, just in general, the, like, that persona. Like, you just need that, I don't know, like I look at, like, wide receivers and I compare them to, like, Russell Westbrook. Like, they usually have the more, like, outlandish outfits. It's like a confidence thing. It's just, it, like, boosts their ego. I don't know. I'm not really like that, I guess. I mean, I can get that way, but I'd probably say I'm not like that, but I can be.
So you're more Thielen than Diggs, or you just switch it up based on, you know, which set of family you're visiting at the time?
I'd probably say more like, no, I can't. I'm not like Keenan Allen. That guy's probably worse than Diggs, but that's my guy though. I probably know, just kind of go about it.
Okay.
Well, swag what were, to him, though. He's trying to get some swag to him.
Yeah, man. What were your thoughts on the game overall? And before we go too far down this, Miles telling us about all the wide receivers he loves, tangent here. Like, what were your thoughts on the games? What were your big takeaways that as you were watching it, and then if you watched it again, I guess, what were any things that you maybe thought initially that you ended up seeing a little bit differently the next time you watched the game?
Yeah, I think we thought Matt Stafford, this is probably one of the worst games I'd seen Stafford play in the last at least two-plus seasons against the Vikings and kind of in general. He just missed a lot of throws. There was a lot of could-have-been like big plays or could-be touchdowns that he missed. There was one toward the end of the game there. I know he's on a hobbled right ankle, I think it was, but he had Golden Tate streaming up the seam, and he beat Mackenzie Alexander. And if he puts that on Golden Tate, I think, you know, we know how Golden Tate is, you know, with the ball in his hands. He's pretty special. He might have been gone, and they might have, you know, the whole game could have changed. But it was like a third and long, and he missed the throw, so it kind of derailed them a little bit more. A lot of those inaccurate throws that we're not used to seeing Stafford miss, especially easier ones. That was definitely one that I saw we got lucky on for sure, because the way we played in that second half, we definitely almost gave that game away. And I was having flashbacks to last season. So I was a little worried about that. I thought the run game was super inconsistent. I know they, you know, overall did well, but I thought there was a lot of inconsistent, you know, blocks up front. And I just think the defensive line from Detroit, which surprisingly they did a pretty good job handling our offensive line. And like I said before, it's kind of surprising based off, you know, some of the no-name players they have on that D-line besides Ziggy Ansah. But that was another one that I thought was kind of interesting. And then, Adam Thielen continues to get open. I know talking to JR, you know, after the game, he said, you know, in person, Adam Thielen's just getting open. And
on everything. He's unguardable at this point, which is really good. And then being able to see guys like Kyle Rudolph help out, you know, up the seam and, you know, on the corner routes, and having those two touchdowns was big, because the red zone was a little bit worrisome a little bit in the second half, of course, but overall I thought it was a good game. Second half was, like I said earlier, scary, but Vikings were able to, you know, come away with a big win, division win.
Cool, cool, cool. And Sexy Prince, bring us home, man. What were your thoughts when you watched the game initially? And then I guess, did you have any difference of opinion if you watched the game a second time?
Yeah, I always try to make a habit of at least watching it three times. First time I was watching it, you know, I think I agreed with JR, whereas it did feel like the offense pulled away a little bit. I think that's kind of a combination between, you know, maybe Zimmer and Shermer kind of, you know, having a conversation. And this is the aspect of Zim where I'm just like, you know what, maybe you need to, you know, just back away and let Shermer do what he's going to do. Because it was scary for a minute that, you know, the Lions were going to get back into the game. So I was a little bit worried about that. The offenses seemed to not to click the same way that they were in the first half. And I don't think Keenum played poorly at all in that second half. I think it was just the offense was just becoming more conservative. I am a little bit curious about Stephon Diggs. I don't think he's injured at all. I think it's just a thing where, you know, Thielen just is the guy currently right now. He's the first read. He's the first guy that Keenum tends to look towards. I mean, I think there, I saw like at least on three plays where I saw Keenum just kind of stare him down, and that's where he was going for. I know that we kind of compared, Stephon Diggs last year to Jarvis Landry just because of the way the offense was, but you can definitely feel like they're definitely force feeding Thielen a little bit more over the course of the last couple weeks. Diggs's targets, I believe, are, I mean, they've been still fairly consistent, but there has been a slight drop off for him. So that's just something that I noticed, you know, watching the second time through, where I was just like, you know, where'd Dig that? Other thing is on the defensive side of the ball. I said it on Twitter, but I thought it was Xavier Rhodes' worst game of football in a very, very long time. He became very extremely grabby. He just looked. There were times he just looked out of position. He didn't get an, you know, his initial step just didn't seem nearly as explosive as it normally is. So I'm hoping he gets healthy, because he is going to have to deal with Julio Jones. I do have to give some credit to the offensive line. Riley Reiff is playing very, very good football, in my opinion. I think that some of the things that I see with it's mostly between Pat Elflein and Joe Berger, where I do feel like it's very clear that Joe Berger is helping Pat Elflein, not with calls, but just like how to, you know, communicate and whatnot. And I think he is really getting to show his ability, because, you know, he has a guy on his right side to really help out with some of those things. So I'm really liking our right side, like our interior right side. And I especially liked them after watching them, you know, second time around. So, you know, those were like some of the things that I kind of locked into, like both during the game and also my rewatching.
Wow, I'm proud of y'all. And, you know, we went through the whole thing and none of y'all brought up Latavius Murray. That's impressive. Luke is happy about all of y'all.
About Latavius, he's over. You could tell he's healthy, though, because I think it's the last 6 weeks. It's been six straight weeks. He's had 16 plus touches.
Yeah, he's getting more touches.
He's a large human being in person.
Yeah,
he is.
He's a big dude, you could tell he's finally starting to get healthy from that ankle surgery, because they're feeding him more. And I know Jason's not the biggest fan of Latavius Murray, but I think at this point, you know, based off the Dalvin Cook injury, kind of definitely glad that he's on the team right now, because I don't think Jack could carry the entire run game on his back, in my opinion. I'm not saying he's not effective, not saying he's not good, because he is, but I don't think he could carry the entire run game on his back.
No, I mean, and you know, I fully support the running back by committee.
You're right.
I just personally feel like I need folks to chill on the Latavius Murray hype until until his yards per carry this season get higher than Matt Asiata's were last season. I feel like we need to chill on Latavius Murray.
Wait, okay? What's the number?
Oh no, it's real close. You know, Matt Asiata last season was at 3.9. Right now, Latavius is at 3.8. So maybe a couple more games, Latavius can pull ahead. Sure. Then we can start going hard on the Latavius Murray. But right now, I feel like we need to chill. I think as Luke called it, the Tay train hype. He also wrote a very good piece over at Purple PTSD. You should check that out. Really talking and going over a lot of the things that Prince actually went and found when he was digging into success rate and looking at, you know, Adrian Peterson in his career with that, you know, famine feast, and how that's not really the best way to have a running game. And that was one of the places that we did struggle a bit in that game, was being able to, which is weird. We came out in the second half, ran the ball down their throat, scored, and then that was like the only time in the whole game we were actually able to sustain any sort of running attack, which was odd. I guess, JR, you were there. I guess, was there anything that you noticed, like, why was that one drive so much more successful than the rest of the game?
I mean, I don't know exactly, but I think the biggest thing is they couldn't block A'shaun Robinson. I mean, he was a tear the entire game except for that one drive right after halftime. Other than that, I mean, he was unblockable. They couldn't move him on the interior. And this was probably one of the better games of his career, just because when I was watching the Lions on film, he didn't really stand out as much as he did on Thanksgiving. But he really was the key why they couldn't get any movement or any yards in the running game. They just could not block A'shaun Robinson. He had a career day.
All right. I guess, Miles, Prince, before we kind of wrap this thing up, I guess, do you guys have any other points that you wanted to raise about this Lions game?
Get Jarrett McKinnon more touches.
That is a good point.
I was gonna ask about that. Like, what? Not even just overall. What is it? Does he look less effective, or do we just think it's because he's not being utilized in the right way?
I just think he needs to get more involved in the passing game. Like, I think
Prince. I know you want to give Jet $20 million next year.
I'm cool with it, man. I'm cool with it.
Prince wants to pay everybody.
Really do. No, just running backs. Just running backs. Don't pay any quarterbacks. Just pay running backs.
You're Case Keenum's agent, bro.
Serious question though. Like, does he look less effective to y'all, or do you like think it's just like the scheme right now, like the way they're scheming him? Or
I don't. I mean, this is one of those completely like non-analytic things, because I haven't done any research or anything.
Right.
It just feels to me like Jet does better when he gets like more touches like in a row. He seems to be a player who needs to get into a rhythm.
And he's a receiver in that way, where if you start getting him more involved early, he's gonna have a bigger impact throughout the whole game.
Yeah, so I mean, that's I haven't mentally got it actually looked at the numbers, but it just feels like watching, you know, and you know, watching at home, that the games where we get him involved in the game plan either earlier or you give him maybe a full series, he seems to do better that way than the kind of drop him in, take him out type of situation. He doesn't seem to do as well. And can't remember who said something. Somebody said something about him potentially being looking frustrated, you know, on the sidelines. And, you know, yeah. I imagine they're all competitors. They all want to be out there, but it just seems like he does better when he's allowed to get more into the flow of the game. And he's season to date been as, if not more effective than Latavius Murray when he's given the touches that Latavius Murray is getting on like early work on early down. So yeah, anyway, JR.
Yeah,
he was. I was the one that said it. He was frustrated on the sideline because, I mean, he did. I think it was the second drive in the third quarter, I believe it was. Or it might have been the opening drive. I can't really remember. He did a lot of the work to get down the field, and then they had the ball on like 3-yard line, and Latavius Murray runs it in. So he's getting credit for his touchdown. I'm assuming that's complete assumption why he was mad or why he was frustrated, because he wants the touchdown. I mean, you do all the work to get down the field, and then they put Latavius Murray in there, and he gets credit for the touchdown.
Yep, I can see that. I guess, Prince, do you have any final points outside of Jet, or are we good to move on to what you guys got cooking up for us this week?
Yeah, let's move on.
All right. Well, Prince, I mean, we'll start with you. You know, you got the microphone right now. What can we expect from you? What What you got on deck for us this coming week?
It's not going to be this week, but there's actually something that I've you guys have convinced me to do a little bit deeper dive as far as Case Keenum, something that I'm looking at doing. I think BJ did something different where he was charting Keenum's passes, but I do want to start charting exactly the routes that Keenum is finding more success in versus some of the other routes throughout route tree and whatnot. So I just wanted to see where is he succeeding, where could he improve, as well as what are the things that he's doing well. So that's what I'm gonna I think maybe this week I'm gonna start really doing some charting of all that.
I like it. Look at you embracing positivity. We will take that. Is a positive step right there. We will take it. Miles, what's cracking, man? What's good? What you got going for us?
I hate life right now. I've been super busy. It's a busy week for me.
Yeah, 8 Thanksgivings. I mean, I understand.
I know. And then I have a TV person coming tomorrow. I got soccer on Wednesday.
Oh, wait, you getting a new TV?
No, I wish.
Oh, there's cable guy.
I thought Miles was gonna be on TV. I'm
getting
like,
getting a TV. Hell no, I'm not gonna be on TV.
Cyber Monday.
Right. Got Teddy class on Thursday.
Man.
All kinds of stuff this week. It's one of the busy ones.
Yeah, man. You getting that good preview of what life is about to be like for you for like the next 20 years, bro.
Even worse, going to family events and everybody's like, "Are you pregnant? Are you guys pregnant yet?"
Oh, like we'll tell you when we are. Okay, just you can stop asking.
They just assume. They're like, "Oh, it's happening, isn't it?" It's like, no.
No. But and you can't really say that too forced. You're like, no, maybe no, right? No, right?
Right.
NJR, man. And for everyone listening, I would assume if you're listening to us, you also follow JR. If you haven't already checked out Reading Between the Lines and here messing stuff up here at the end of the pod, but JR dropped an awesome piece full of a ton of detail on Friday. So if you missed it while you were hanging out with your family or going to a myriad of Thanksgiving festivities like Miles was, go check it out on climbingthepocket.com. It is an outstanding piece, ton of great info in there. JR, I guess I feel bad asking you if you got more after all that stuff you blessed us with last week, but I guess you got anything else cooking up?
Not right now. Still churning out the database for 2018 draft prospects. We're starting to get a little closer to draft season. A lot of teams' playoff hopes are actually coming to an end or evaporating at this point, so we're getting a little closer to draft season. I'm going to start releasing some scouting reports on a lot of notable guys as we get closer to the draft.
All number right.
4 Gophers safety. What?
plug. And
they got a big commitment today, huh? Gophers got a big commitment today.
Yeah, JUCO QB. I think his name is Vic Vermento or something like that. So he came into town and it was kind of a big deal because the Gophers actually just lost their starting quarterback from this season. Or both of them, actually. One graduated, and the other one, he's choosing to transfer out. So
they take this kid to Manny's? Is that what happened?
Probably. That's where I would take
him. The mashed potatoes are amazing at Manny's.
I wouldn't know. I'm not allowed to go.
Man! You got the resources to go.
Y'all just dug up old wounds right there on Miles. Yeah, well, we're going to wrap it up before Miles starts really feeling bad about that Manny's night all over again. So thank you for listening. My name is Jason Brown, joined once again by the full crew, JR, Miles, and the Sexy Prince, Yinka Allende. Y'all have a good one.
Yeah, man.